Title of the message today, and I know this is not proper grammar. Please, English teachers, don't come after me. I know I'm not using the right verb tense here. Title of the message is, she say, he say, they say, but what say you? I want everybody to say that with me real fast. She say, oh, come on, all together, ready? She say, he say, they say, but what say you? A Christmas message. At this time of year, there is a lot of things said about Christmas. There's a lot of things said about the meaning of Christmas. There's a lot of things said about the traditions of Christmas. I just talked to you for a moment about Santa Claus, right? How many of you have seen that they're wanting to change the image of Santa Claus? How many of you have seen this? They're wanting to, one, they're talking about making him skinny and putting him in skinny jeans. Or they're saying that we should turn Santa Claus into either a woman or gender neutral. You know what? Santa is a jolly, fat old elf with a white beard, okay? And he needs to lay off the milk and cookies, but he's enjoying himself, so don't worry about it, okay? At Christmas, there's so much said about all this. Can I just encourage you for a moment before we get into this? Make most of what you say about Christmas about the real reason for the season, and that's Jesus Christ. So let's see what she say, he say, they say, and we'll go into the Word of God. First of all, we want to look about what did the angel say, first of all, to Joseph. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, and if you can keep up with me looking them up, go for it. A lot in Matthew, a little in Matthew, and a lot of it's in Luke. So find the first few chapters of Luke and you'll be good. To Joseph, this is what the angel said. But after Joseph had considered putting Mary away quietly, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The angel fulfilled their number one duty. Their number one job is to deliver messages and comfort and protection from the throne room of God the Father to us. Now, I've never seen an angel in real life that I know of. Can I just tell you that we always picture angels how? What's one thing angels have to have? Wings. What else? Halo, and they're always glowing. You know what? If an angel appeared to me in that form, do you know what I would do? Faint. Probably faint. Ah. But can I tell you that I do believe that angels still appear to us today in forms that we may not recognize, and when they do, they fulfill the task given to them by God the Father to protect us, to encourage us to do something. Now, I will tell you, I really don't think that they drive around in a Cadillac convertible and look like Della Reese. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've seen the show Touch My Angel? I don't think they look like Michael Landon with long curly hair. Maybe once in a while, but not all the time. But the angels appeared to Joseph, and they brought a message to him and said, look, we understand, God understands, you're afraid. Because what you're facing, your culture, your upbringing says one thing, but God the Father wants you to understand that he's in this. Can I tell you this morning, as we approach this Christmas season, there's some of us that, as we approach this time of year and head into a new year, we're going to face things that are overwhelming. Things that are daunting. Can I tell you today that I believe God wants to speak words to you that says, don't be afraid. Trust God. Trust God above all. Do you understand what Joseph was undertaking? By agreeing to marry this unwed woman who was pregnant with someone else's child, he was basically admitting, okay, I'm responsible, it's on me. In the natural, that's scary. But then the angels tell him, look, what's conceived, the child she's having was conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is the Son of God, and God has chosen you to be the earthly dad that brings him up. You see, as the new year approaches, some of us, God's going to call us to do things that's so far outside our comfort zone. Can I tell you? God has a message for you today. Don't be afraid. Step out in faith and trust him. So that's what the angels said to Joseph. Well, the next, what did the angels say? You're going to find out in the Christmas story, the angels had a lot to say. What did the angels say to Mary? Well, we go to Luke chapter 1, verses 28 through 34. And the angel went to Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. Let me stop there. In this time frame among Hebrew girls, Jewish girls, they all or most of them had the secret dream in the back of their minds that they just might get to be the mother of the Messiah. It had been promised through the prophets that at some point a virgin girl would give birth to the Messiah, the Savior. And every little girl probably wondered, I wonder if it could be me. Until the day she was married, she wondered, could I be the one? Now all of a sudden, here's sweet little Mary being raised, and all of a sudden the angel appears to her and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, here it is again, what's the message? "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." Can I tell you that although God may not call any of you to physically give birth at this point in life, I thought some of you ladies would shout amen at that. Let me try that again. Although God may not call some of you to give birth in the physical sense, I believe that we're heading into a time frame and a season where God is going to ask many of us to birth new visions of what we can do for the kingdom of God. I believe that God may ask this church to begin to birth a new vision of what he wants to do through this church family. We go through seasons and times of change. Can I tell you, if a little teenage girl could answer that call that the angel brought to her and say, "As you have spoken, let it be. As you have said it, so let it be." I think we can do the same today, can't you? And again, what's that key message? This message is a lot in the Word of God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear not. All right. Let's see what the angel said to the shepherds. I think you went one too far. Oh, I skipped one. Oh, boy, that's what happens when you put this together. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, the angels speak to the shepherds. It says, "In that region," speaking around Bethlehem, "there were shepherds living in the fields watching their flock during the night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And then the angel told them, 'Stop being afraid. Listen. I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people. Today your Savior, the Lord, the Messiah, has been born in the city of David, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger.'" I've always found this part of the story so interesting because even though shepherds were necessary, they were kind of looked down upon in society. Because they hung around sheep, and if you hang around sheep a whole lot, what do you start to smell like? And I've been around sheep just a little bit, and I don't know, Tommy, do you think the smell of sheep is good or bad, or somewhere in between? It's not bad. For whatever reason, those shepherds were considered to be kind of outcasts because, well, they hung around sheep, but I think part of it too is they probably didn't bathe real regularly either. As a matter of fact, their sheep probably bathed more regularly than they did. Can I tell you? There are some of us sitting here today. There's some of you listening to this over the Facebook live stream. There's some of you. You feel like the shepherds of that day. You feel like you're the outcast. You feel like nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. And that when you're around people, they just treat you like you stink. But you know what's really funny? The angels came and announced the birth of the Savior to the shepherds, not to the priests at the temple. Can I tell you, stop worrying about what others think about you so much of the time and be more aware and concerned about what the Heavenly Father thinks about you. And I'll tell you what He thinks about you. He loves you so much that He gave His one and only Son. Let that sink in a minute. He loved you, singular, each of you, individually. He loved you so much that He gave you His Son as the first Christmas present. Amen? Oh, that doesn't make you feel good and want to shout. I don't know what will. Then what did the angel say to God? You say, the angel spoke to God? Well, of course. Luke chapter 2, same place where we're at there, verses 13 and 14. It says, suddenly a multitude of the heavenly hosts appeared with those angels, and they began to praise God by saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to everyone who enjoy His favor. Everything that we do in life, we ought to do it for one reason, and that's to give glory to God. The birth of Jesus Christ in the manger of Bethlehem was done for one reason. That was to bring glory to God. And the greatest way we bring glory to God is when we accept His free gift of salvation paid for by His Son, and we say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong, but please forgive me. I'm going to follow You from now on and serve You and be obedient to You to the best of my ability. And the thing is, when you pray that simple prayer and you accept Him as Savior, He doesn't leave you alone to do it on your own. He kind of, here, Madison, come here. I'm going to use you for my prop this morning. She took the tiara off. When you come to Jesus and you say, forgive me, I accept You as Savior, I want to live for You. He doesn't just say, well, that's good. Good luck. See you around, maybe. He says, no. He comes along and he says, here, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit just walk beside you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to try to keep you. As long as you'll walk with me, you're going to be all right. I'm going to take care of you. I'm right there beside you every day. Thank you. Didn't she do a good job? I might even give you an extra point in band class. Well, that's some of what they say. Now, how about we look at one of what does she say? What did Elizabeth say? Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. And her story is reminiscent of Abraham and Sarah's. Her and her husband was a priest. And they had not had a child. And one day her husband goes on duty in the temple, his one, possibly his only chance of a lifetime. There were so many priests available in Israel at that time that they only got to serve in the temple once, maybe twice in a lifetime, certain priests. And the angel appears to him and says, you and your wife Elizabeth are going to have a child. Now, she was a little old to be doing that, but God blessed them. And she is just about 3 to 6 months further along than Mary. And Mary goes to visit her. And look at this. In Luke chapter 1, verses 41 through 45. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby jumped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she loudly exclaimed, how blessed are you among women, and how blessed is the infant in your womb. Why should this happen to me to have the mother of my Lord visit me?
And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. How blessed is this woman for believing that what was spoken to her by the Lord would be fulfilled. Elizabeth, she's had her own miracle. That baby would be John the Baptist, the one that was the forerunner of Christ, the one that prepared the way for him that the prophets had spoken about. Suddenly Mary walks in, and Elizabeth doesn't need Mary to tell her what happened. The Holy Spirit reveals it to her, and she says, oh, you are so blessed. You are the most blessed of all women, for the Lord is allowing you to be the mother of the Messiah, the Savior. And she says, the baby inside of me jumped for joy when you entered this room. And I want to encourage you to do something this Christmas. When a brother or sister is blessed, extra special of the Lord, and you find out about it, learn to rejoice with them and put jealousy aside. Oh, Elizabeth could have said, I'm as good as my little cousin there, little teenage snot. Why should she be the mother of the Messiah? I'd be a much better judge. No, she says, God's given me a miracle. God's given you a greater miracle, and I'm going to rejoice with you because God has blessed us both. Stop comparing the size of the miracle and be glad that God's still in the miracle-working business. Amen? You're over here celebrating the fact that God's blessed you with the miracle of a box of Kleenex, and you're rejoicing over it, and somebody walks in and says, oh, look at this. God has blessed me with a box of silk handkerchiefs. Don't get jealous over those. Be grateful he gave you the Kleenex. Be grateful he gave you them the silk handkerchiefs, and let God determine what the miracle needs to be. Amen? Amen? Oh, Elizabeth said, you are blessed among women. This child you're carrying is the Savior of the world. And she couldn't have been happier. I challenge you to do this for Christmas. Look around at the people in your life. And on purposely look for someone who gets a better gift than you and be happier for them than you thought you could ever be for anybody. That's what Elizabeth did. Praise God, I get a child who's going to be a prophet, and my cousin gets to bear the child that's the Savior of the world. Now, what did Mary say on that first Christmas? Well, we continue. It's in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 45. It is her song. It says, Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Can I interject something there? When Mary says that, they will call me blessed, she's not elevating herself. She's elevating the God who poured a great blessing into her life. Okay? Mary is not bragging, saying, well, look at me. They're going to call me super spiritual, special blessed. No, she says, they're going to say that I was blessed because God poured his favor upon me. I was just a humble little servant that said, yes, Lord. Did you know that's oftentimes who God's looking to use in this life? He's not looking for those who are full of themselves. He's looking for those who simply say, yes, Lord. Not yes, Lord, but. Not yes, Lord, if. Not yes, Lord, however. But simply, yes, Lord. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud of their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Do you realize that humble little girl who had her world rocked and shaken up recognized that what God was going to do through her was the answer to the promise God had made to Abraham thousands of years prior? Now listen to me, friend. Do you realize that God may invade your life and ask you to do something that's difficult, and it may not be for you alone? It may very well be the fulfillment of a promise he made to somebody else years ago. See, we're not placed on this earth for us alone. We're interconnected. What you do affects me. What I do affects you. And sometimes when God puts something into our lives and we go, well, thank you, Lord, it's such a blessing, but I don't understand why. Maybe the blessing was put in your hands not for you, but for somebody else. And it may be the fact that God knows you and that person better than you do, and God may know that if he gives it to them directly, they can't really be trusted with it, so you got to be the go-between. You got to be the one to give it to them a little at a time as God directs. Oh, but I love the fact Mary recognizes that what she's being blessed to be and be a part of is a fulfillment of what God promised Father Abraham thousands of years earlier. Well, what did the shepherds say? In Luke 2:15, they've had this wonderful visit. Have you ever imagined what it must have been like being out there outside of Bethlehem that night? You got the stars, you got your sheep bedded down for the night. And all of a sudden, your night is invaded with angelic hosts singing to you. Whew. Talk about something to blow your mind. So what did the shepherds say? When the angels had left them and gone back to heaven, the shepherds told one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see what has taken place that the Lord has told us about. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you think they said that to each other? Oh, yeah, hey, how about if we run into Bethlehem and take a look? What do you think? Think that's how they said it? I have a feeling that they were probably more excited than a Cleveland Browns fan was when they won their first game this season. I think they were more excited than my sons will be should their Broncos find some way to make it to the playoffs. They're more excited than what some of you are when you go and you buy a bag and it says there's supposed to be a dozen candy bars and you open it up and there's 15 instead. We always read that and we always have in our plays and we have them so solemnly saying, let us go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has been told to us by the angel. I think they were just first in shock and awe, and then finally it dawned on them, this wasn't a dream. We didn't all dream the same thing. This really happened. Man, let's go check this out. We're told the Messiah is there. Understand, in Israel, they've been looking for the Messiah for hundreds of years. And for 400 years, between the end of what we have of the Old Testament and the beginning of this of the New Testament, for 400 years, there had not been much of a word from God through the prophets. 400 years. I'll give you a perspective. Our nation is not even 300 years old yet. 400 years they've been waiting for a word from God as a nation. And now all of a sudden the angels are coming around and telling everybody the Messiah is coming. He's on the way. Mary, you're going to be the mother. Joseph, it's okay. God selected you to be the foster father. Elizabeth, your cousin Mary, you're going to have the forerunner. Your cousin Mary is going to have it. And now the angels are the ones that are told, guess what? He's here. He's in Bethlehem. Go find him. Go worship him. Go check it out. Oh, may we get as excited about the birth of Christ as they did. Try that one more time. May we get as excited about Jesus Christ as those shepherds did that night. What about Simeon? Boy, I got some things there that skipped around really bad. Back off of that one. Make sure there's none past that. Back up. I know I put those in. I don't know what happened in translation. Okay. There's a man named Simeon. Not Simon, Simeon. We find his story in Luke 2, verses 25 through 35. It says, now a man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. This man was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the one who would comfort Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Let that sink in a minute. People have been looking for the Messiah for literally about 2,000 to 3,000 years at least. And this one man in Jerusalem named Simeon, the Holy Spirit says to him, look, you're not going to die until you see him. This man was faithful. This man was devout. He served God faithfully with all the knowledge he had. And God says to him, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. Led by the Spirit, he went into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took the infant in his arms and praised God by saying, now here's what he had to say about Jesus. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your promise, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared for all people to see. A light that will reveal salvation to unbelievers and bring glory to your people. And Jesus' father and mother kept wondering at the things being said about the child. Then Simeon blessed them, and he told Mary his mother, this infant is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and rise. Also, he will be a sign that will be opposed. Indeed, a sword will pierce your own soul too, so that the inner thoughts of many people might be revealed. Can you imagine? Simeon begins at some point in life, probably as a young man. He begins to read the prophecies. He begins to study the scripture. And he thinks to himself, man, I'd love to see the Messiah. And I don't know. We don't know at what point in life. But at some point, the Lord speaks to him through the Holy Spirit and says, Simeon, I'm going to grant your wish. You will not die until you see the Messiah. And every year, another birthday comes along. And another. And another, and another, and another, and the gray hair. I'm being nice. We'll say he gets gray hair instead of going bald like some of us. And another, and another. And finally, this particular day, the Holy Spirit says, why don't you go hang out at the temple? And it's probably a normal-looking day at the temple. It's crowded. There's always pilgrims there. There's people there. There's activity. There's classes. There's scribes teaching. There's priests doing their job. And all of a sudden, as he's there at the temple, he looks over there and he sees a young couple with a child, something he's probably seen there hundreds of times. But all of a sudden, the Spirit prompts him and says, hey, Simeon. That's the one. That's the one. And something inside him begins to well up. It begins to swell in his heart. And he goes over and I can just imagine him approaching him. And he takes that child and he says, oh God, thank you. Now I can die peaceful and happy because you have fulfilled your promise. Friend, some of you may have been given a promise by God way back. And every year another birthday comes around. Every year another anniversary rolls around. Another Christmas, another New Year, another whatever day it might be. Can I tell you, God always keeps his promises? Oh, we don't know exactly how old Simeon was. We always picture him as being quite old. And I think the context shows us that. Simeon, though, comes and he takes that child. And he says, oh, thank you, God. I can die a happy man now because I know that you're a God who keeps his word and you have sent the Savior into this world at this point in time. And the world will be blessed. And then he prophesies to Mary. He says, this child is special. Mary already knew that, but how many of you know that sometimes we know it, we still need to have it confirmed so it goes from our head to our hearts again? Mary, this child's special. Throughout this nation, many will rise to greater heights because of this child. Others will fall flat on their face because of this child. And Mary, even you as the mother a sword is going to pierce your soul. He was letting her know there's going to come a day, and that day came when Jesus was hanging on that cross. He says, a sword will pierce your soul. You're going to suffer pain because of this child, but hang in there. It's okay. Some of us right now in this church family are going through things where we're facing troubles, trials, pain. Can I tell you that this Christmas, I want to stand here before you and tell you, hang in there. God's got this. Just as God had that time and had that situation. So Simeon says, all right, I can die a happy man. Well, no, hold on. What about the wise men? What did the wise men say? Well, in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the reign of King Herod, wise men arrived in Jerusalem from the east, and they asked, where is the one who was born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to what? Worship him. What are you worshiping this Christmas season? Son, give me that quote again that you put up a few weeks ago that you heard. What you think about is what you love. What you love is what you adore. And what you adore is what you worship. Is that close? These men who did not worship Jehovah God, as far as we know, but they saw something. Now, we won't get into, there's a lot of speculation about how they knew what to look for. But there was something that happened in the heavens. And they knew that a new king had been born. And they knew that they needed to come worship him. They needed to come and bow before him and offer him adoration and love and praise. Can I just encourage all of us this Christmas season? I love the gifts. I love the decorations. I love the food. I love being with family. But can we make sure that we make Christmas first and foremost about worshiping Jesus Christ? You know what? The next one says, what did Herod say? Can I tell you? This is what Herod said. And I think he betrays how much he actually knew. In Matthew 2, 3 through 8, it says that Herod secretly called together the wise men, found out from them where the time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, and he told them, as you go, search carefully for the child, and when you find him, tell me so that I too may go and worship him. Listen, we know Herod did not want to worship the child. He was afraid. He wanted to kill the child. But you know what? His words betray the fact that he understood that what God had proclaimed centuries before was coming true. I don't think there's a person sitting in this room that does not understand the simple idea. Christmas is not about the gifts and the trees and all that. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. She say, he say, they say, but what say you? What say you this Christmas? What is foremost on your mind? What is foremost in your conversation as we approach this time of year? We get caught up in the commercialism. We get caught up in the buying the gifts. We want to find that right gift for that person that we love. But what say you this Christmas? Is this the Christmas that you will finally say yes, Lord, to what he's been calling you to do? Is this the Christmas where you'll finally surrender every part of your life to him and you'll stop trying to put him in one little box over here on the shelf and only take him out when it's convenient for you? Will this be the Christmas that you'll put aside your excuses and your reasonings about why you don't share his love with people more often, and you'll begin to be braver and bolder about letting people know that Jesus loves them? She say, he say, they say, but what say you? My desire for you, my church family, this Christmas is that we will be wiser, braver, and more willing to simply let people know in very simple terms, Jesus Christ loves you. He came as the babe in the manger, but thank God he didn't stay there. He grew and he took his place on that cross. Thank God he didn't stay there either. They laid him in a tomb. Thank God he didn't stay there either, but he rose on the third day. But he didn't stay here on this earth. He went back to the right hand of the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us, to walk with us. And the Word says that now he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he intercedes for us. When we make known our deeds, he turns to the Father, and this is how I picture it. He turns to the Father, and he says, Father, I remind you of the nail prints in my hand and my feet and the wound on my side. That's one of mine. She say, he say, they say, but what say you this Christmas? Are you ready to make him your Lord and Savior in a greater way than he's ever been? Are you willing to answer yes to his call in a way you've never answered it before? If that's you, would you stand with me? And by standing, you're saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to do what you've called me to do. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you loved us so much, Father, that you sent the very best you had. Lord, we thank you that you recorded the words that were said during that first Christmas. And Lord, today may our words echo theirs, words of praise, words of blessing, words of strength, words of obedience and not words of fear. Lord God, throughout this Christmas season, may we begin a new habit, a habit of sharing your love with everyone we come in contact with through both word and deed. May our words be seasoned with salt that flavors life. May we be the light that shines into the darkness that people find themselves in and helps guide them to you, the great light. We ask this today in your wonderful name. And everyone says, amen and amen. God bless you. Stick around. We're going to